I thought that Brother Savage is preaching. And when he got through, I was sitting there thinking, who's the giant? Who is the giant? Amen. So good.
So good. Yeah.
I don't believe I ever heard him do any better.
No,
just the first few statements, I think I would have driven down here just to hear those.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
Just, it's wonderful, Brother Savage.
Yes,
it was wonderful. Amen. And Brother Joy last night, I listened to him just a little while, and I'm not being hypocritical. I'm not saying something I didn't feel. I'd hate to stand in this pulpit and tell you something serious and be lying with you. But I thought, I was listening for a little while, and I thought, I don't even know how to preach. I thought, I don't know how to preach. He deserves everything he can get. And when he gave the altar call, you know, and those responded, I thought, all I can do is pray. I can do that. You know, and if everybody here would have just come in the altar and gathered around those that were praying, it might have helped. Did you know that? Amen. I can't see that it would hurt anyone. I'm just speaking for myself. But since I'm taking care of Chuck, and especially, and I've always felt this way, I don't never pray enough. I just always had that feeling. I've never prayed enough. And I thought, how can I pass up this opportunity to pray and complain not being allowed time to pray?
Right.
Is that, you know, Brother Prescott yesterday preaching is just wonderful. Amen? Praise the Lord. And I like singing. I don't just go to seed on it, but I like singing. I really do. If I knew that song and my voice runs a crack, I'd sing it for you. Because what use of telling the preacher you got all the time you want and cut the singing short? Anyway. You didn't do that, did you?
No.
All right, okay. Just checking. That's awful. That's not good. I want to thank you for everything. Had a nice basket, fruit and stuff, and card. Nice words. That's such a thrill and a blessing. And I just appreciate all of you being here, all the preachers and what have you. And I said it, I think, last night, but Virginia has been the best state in the Union for this preacher right here. Virginia has. I think Brother Ralph, I preached there at the Tabernacle 12 years, I believe. I'm not sure. I believe that's right. And I preached here back in 79, 80. I've preached various places over the state here and preached for Brother Mike at his fellowship meeting or camp meeting. And so Virginia has been the best state in the Union to me. I'd have to say that. Others, what little I've been there, they've been as good to me as anyone else. But just as a by and whole, you've been the best to me. And so I appreciate that. I really do. And so you don't owe me anything. You don't owe me one thing. You don't owe me anything at all. Amen. Because you've been so good to me. And as I said, the preaching's been great, Brother Prescott, Brother Joy. And I realize Brother Joy didn't take a text last night, but he emptied his heart. Huh? He put everything he had in it.
That's right.
There wasn't nothing left of him when he got through.
That's right.
Amen. He put everything he had in it. And so it just, and just so fitting, the things he said, just so fitting. I mean, just, and then Brother Savage come along this morning, and I thought of several things. One thing, did I mention Brother Anthony Wood praying in the cemetery. Did I mention that yesterday?
No.
All right. Something been bothering me, you know, looks like Pentecost is going to go the way of the other denominations, though we're not a denomination. It just has that look to it, you know. And one day in prayer, this scripture came to me, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered child she's past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And I preached on that. I said Pentecost in most places is 100 years old or older, but we can still have revival. The hope is, to me, the hope is we're a free people. The hope is, amen. If this church goes down, it doesn't pull the rest of us. We don't have that interlocking, a device that pulls others with it. It may influence, but it don't put, necessarily pull you down. So, I preached on that, and I really believe that. And then, just a few days ago, Brother Anthony Wood's wife's sister had to have an operation. They'd gone to Indiana. And the phone rang, and I picked up, and Brother Ann said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, not doing much anything." He said, "Well, I've been up the graveyard praying, cemetery rather," he said, "praying, and up there in Indiana." And so he said, "I don't know." I said, "I hate to tell you this. I it seems silly." He said, "I got under a burden for you, and I was praying for you, and it seems silly." And he said, "I don't know how to say this." He just kept apologizing. And he said, "A scripture come to me for you," and said, "It don't seem like it'll fit. I hate to tell you." Priest, I said, "Brother, tell me. I want to hear it." "Well, all right," he said, "here's this. Through faith also, Sarah self received strength to conceive seed." You see what I mean? I'm not running 135. If I'm running 135, I've caught 35. 100's still out there somewhere. So, I mean, that blessed my soul. Brother Ralph Horton, just him calling me and thinking it's silly for me to tell you that old preacher that about an old woman having a baby. But that's a wonderful thing, isn't it, huh?
Yeah.
And I loved all of it. And I loved the preaching this morning. Just to me, it just confirmed what I'd already been feeling in my soul. So I was so happy with that.
Yeah.
And there is always church trouble. You don't mind? I want to comment. I've got to comment on this. Brother, I don't want to preach or re-preach a message. I'm kidding. But it's talking about keep plowing, keep sowing. Do you remember, it might have been over at the tabernacle, Brother L.D. Moore told about one year, he read this scripture here, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." And he said one year, every day it looked cloudy and rainy and dark and gloomy. And said, I'd say, "B, we can't put out that garden right now. Look like we'll just, you know, get washed away." And, you know, he just kept apologizing. And said, "My neighbor just whistling and going out working in his garden and just going ahead plowing. And every day it looked bad. And every day he just kept working. Every day I kept." And he said, "Finally, at the end of the season, I didn't even have a garden. He had one. By the time I got ready to put mine in, the dry weather set in. I didn't have nothing."
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
So, I just sat there and drunk it all in, enjoyed it, amen, enjoyed it. And I thought about old Brother Cecil Welch, the old Irish Indian fella, come from up there in Missouri, pastoring a church up north of me years ago. It was a denominational church, had two women in the church. They were calling everybody. He was preaching too much holiness for them. And they was calling all the members and saying, "We don't need him for a pastor. We don't need him, pastor." And they was telling him, "Brother Shandon, we don't need him for a pastor." They kept passing that around. And finally, one morning, he went in, he told church secretary, said, "Pull me their cards, please." Took the cards, and so when he got ready for preach, he stood up and he called those women's names. Said, "Would you stand up, please?" And they stood up. He walked back, pulled that card out, and said, "Here's your card. Here's your card." He said, "You've been saying you need a new pastor. Go find you one." But I'd like to get on and preach here. I really would. I would like to preach. I don't preach too long, but I'd like to preach. Let me see. I need this. I really need this. I need Brother Caleb. Would you come up here and have a seat right up here and bring your Bible? I need two other brethren. I'll just use you one time, and it'll be way toward the end of the sermon. But it won't be, hopefully, too long. Amen. Now, something else I was thinking about this morning, Brother Savage, talking about preaching, you know. We cannot preach over 30 minutes because that takes all your life, your attention span, you know. In fact, I guess right now they're remodeling all theaters. You can't see nothing but a 30-minute show. Television, you know, everything's going to go back to 30 minutes. Well, I haven't heard that, but I think surely if the church folks has got to that, you know, surely the world will follow. They won't we just let us have two-hour shows and us having worrying about if it's going to be 30 minutes. Am I taking too much time? Of course, I'm just like you. When I was a boy, you know, we didn't have it. We was too poor. But if we had any corn, there's a little knobby stuff raising there in the Rocky Hills of Arkansas. And you have to shell it with that thumb and finger, you know, and just work and wear your thumb out. And boy, back then, now you can just go buy that popcorn and pop it in the microwave. But it's better on the stove. I'll tell you right now, I'm eating it that way, but it's better on the stove. But back then, the hardest thing in the world to shell was popcorn on the cob to me. Did you ever? Oh, it was terrible. But the folks that had money, they had a corn sheller. They put that corn in there, and they just crank that handle, and then and that corn just a rolling off, you know. And then pretty soon you wouldn't hear that. You kind of hear a shuffle. And it's just the cobs, the sound of those cobs bouncing around, you know. Corn was gone. You know, I've sat out there sometimes where you have, and I said, "I can hear the cobs, but there ain't no corn. Would you turn the shuffle?" So, if you get tired of my preaching, I understand, huh? Is that all right? Amen. Huh? Yeah. I need two more. Somebody come here and just grab a Bible and sit down. I'll just use you one time. Amen. Praise the Lord. I won't use you now. Just here.
It'll be. Okay. Wait right here.
Well, boy, that took up a lot of time. Anyway, I am convinced. I want to read from the book of Jude. And some time ago, I felt like the Spirit spoke to me and said, "We're living in the days of apostasy, the acts of the apostates."
Well, you're right.
I believe that. And I want to preach to you, if I can, from that. And I hope the Lord will help me. And I don't last over 30 minutes. I don't want it to at all. Brother Joey looked at me and said, "Dinner." I said, "Where's he sitting at?" I thought we had a new visitor, you know. But anyway. Praise the Lord. Jude 3 through 11. Beloved. Can I say this without sounding like I'm down on my best friend, Brother Frank Rogers, and I'm after one of his that's been saved under him. I'm pastor where Brother Frank was for 19 years. And you can't preach on faith up there because the only way they know faith is healing. I mean, when you talk about faith in Brandsville, you got to talk about miracles and healing. I mean, he's preached faith to them on healing until it's just automatic. It's about healing. But there is a faith different than that, you know. That is trusting God's word, you know. Huh? Amen. Is that all right, Brother Caleb?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Because he is, man. He'll call me every once in a while, Brother Joe, and he'll remind me that you ought to preach on faith like you do on holiness, you know, at least, you know, ever so often you ought to give them a good message on that now. And I don't mind. And every once in a while I have him come down to church and preach, because I know that when he does, he'll preach on faith. And I took him with me, Brother L.D. Savage, to a revival. One night I just let him have it. Let him pray for the sick. Amen. Because I do believe in that, don't you? I do believe in that. But the Bible said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful. I just can't get over that word needful. Paul said it was of a necessity they preached the gospel. Same word. Jesus must needs go through Samaria. It means there is a spirit that is compelling you to write this. There's a spirit that compelled him to go through Samaria. There was a pressure from the Holy Ghost that Paul saw the necessity of preaching. Amen. So when he wrote this, he said, and I know you've heard this before, but just think, here's a man's going to write something else. But he said it was needful. The Spirit began to put pressure on me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them but believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, yet reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. And these speak evil of those things which they know not. What they know naturally is brute beasts, and those things that corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kors. These are spots in your feast. The charity, when they feast with you, feed themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about winds. Trees whose fruit withers without fruit, whose fruit withers without fruit, who twice dead, plucked up by the root. It goes on to say, I'm not going to read all that. I don't have to, because I don't get into all that. I don't want to get into a whole lot of it, but I want to get into something. And I noticed this, and I'll just make mention of it, that there's three, you might say, characteristics of apostasy. Number one, they're ungodly. Number two, they're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Number three, they're denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, looking at it again, number one, they're filthy dreamers. Number two, they defile the flesh. Those filthy dreamers, rather, defile the flesh. Number one, despise dominion. Number two, and speak evil of dignities. These are marks of the apostasies. And then we have examples of three men. Cain, I thought you was having trouble with your voice up here until you got started. You better pray for me. I was praying for you. Cain, Balaam, and Kor. But what I want to deal with, if I possibly can, and I could go on, you know, talking about walking on. This is a terrible, terrible, to me, it's just a scary writing here about these men and how terrible it is in their day. But the thing I want to deal with, I just want to read, I want to deal with the fact, is the fact that the first thing that he says, they are ungodly men. They are ungodly men. And the Bible said they defile the flesh. That's one of the things. And third, They have gone the way of Cain. One writer said they went away in the way of Cain. Jude wrote as though it already happened, because he knew if God said it, that's the way it's going to be. They went away in the way of Cain. So I want to say that these three, I want to use that, but I want to preach on this fact that the first thing you'll find when apostasy enters into church, and I'm going to try to bring this around where it won't just be gloom and doom. I don't want that. I realize that there are people here, you've got all the load you can carry. You know, we want to do the will of God. We want to preach what God lays on our heart. And so we want that. Amen. We do. Preachers do. You don't realize, but we go to church just with a constant aware of the fact that this is a crisis. I'm in a crisis. This service, this may be a service that will either be the making or breaking of someone. You realize that? Wasn't too long ago, I went to church and I sat down. I had a message. I thought it was from the Lord. It's pretty strong, pretty severe. And I looked down at that crowd, and I looked back at that crowd, and I thought about there was that woman, her husband's unsaved, and he's got cancer. She's got that load. I saw a young woman there, her husband wasn't being faithful to the house of God, and putting a big pull on her to go the other way. That's her load. I looked down, I saw a mother and a father. Amen. Their children had split up, the son and daughter-in-law split up, and their four grandchildren be pulled away from church. That was their load. You see what I'm saying? There's a woman there that had been in a lot of other types of religion. She was trying to get her feet on the ground. And I just kept looking around, and I don't have that big a crowd, you know. And pretty soon I bowed my head and said, oh, God, they can't handle it. I thought I had your will, but they can't handle it. They just can't stand it. Amen. And I just bowed my head and said, God, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. And Brother Wayne Thompson, my Sunday school superintendent, got up and he decided to sing a song, and he began to exhort and preach a little bit. Amen. And when he got through, amen, I just grabbed a scripture out of the Bible and jumped up behind him and took that scripture and went on with it and gave an altar call, and the people prayed and we got through it. But if God would have just let me not even look at my people, if God had just let me be ignorant of what was going on, if I'd have preached that message and sent that people away in just a feeling of complete defeat. Huh? Amen. So I don't do that to you this morning, because I can't look at you. I don't know what your problem is. But I do want to say that we are living in the days of apostasy, and we're living in the days of ungodly men. I hope that I can get this to you here. Amen. These things just kind of go through. These things kind of go through. Now, when I think about ungodly, it doesn't necessarily mean that there are people that go down the road cussing and carrying on. I'm not talking about that. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It doesn't mean that at all. You may be gracing the pulpit, or can have someone gracing the pulpit and be an ungodly person. Huh? You can be ungodly. You can be ungodly because of the very fact the way you handle the Word of God, the idea of God, the portrayal of God. I remember a man, he's backslid right now, but you know what, I, Brother Joy, I have to admit that I hear things funny and I want to repeat them, don't you? I just want to repeat them. I just have a, you know, I have a feeling about that. I told Brother David now, I was coming down the road, I read some one time, I don't know if it's true or not, but if I was preaching one night, I'll use it on optimism, you know, being optimistic instead of pessimistic, you know. And I told about this man who's working in his yard, and this car come in, a late model car come crashing through his hedge and stopped right in the middle of the lawn, and there was an older woman sitting right there behind the wheel. She'd run through that hedge. And he went up to her and he said, ma'am, said, you could have been bad hurt. Said, got her out, put her in a lawn chair, and he said, you're pretty old to be driving out here like this, aren't you? She said, oh, she said, yes, I'll be 94 next month, but said, I'm old enough, I don't even need a driver's license. She said, last month I went to the doctor, and he said, lady, do you have a driver's license? Said, I said, yes, I do, and I handed it to him. Said, he took his scissors, just cut it up. I don't even need one. He said, you won't be needing these anymore. So, you know, I like that kind of stories, you know. And, but I just, you know, when I think about You know, but there's sometimes there's tales that comes and I've retold them. I really have. And I felt bad because it really didn't do anything for the image of God. You remember? You know, what I started saying, and it was funny, I couldn't help but get kind of tickled about it, but this preacher was talking to me one day, and he told me about this preacher up in Alaska, preaching up there where the snow was real deep and everything, you know, and he preached on hell one day and said, as they went out the door, said, could you preach that again next Sunday? And, you know, those preaching about how hot hell was, and I thought, that don't sound good. It's funny, but it's not good. That's being ungodly. That's the first time I've even told it to a crowd because it was just so bad. And I don't know, I don't even feel good about telling it to you now. But I'm trying to say you can be ungodly. Amen. I remember years ago there's a pastor or a missionary, and this native of that country was talking to me. He is also a missionary, but he is talking to me. He told about this evangelist. Amen. Was a missionary rather over in this city in the Mideast. And in that city of the Mideast, he had a nice home, and he swam in the Mediterranean during the warm days. They skied on the mountain slopes of the winter days. Amen. And they drove a Mercedes Benz, and they'd been there, I forget how many years, 4 or 5 years. And the only people they had was the rest of the Americans that were stationed in that city. Never had one native there. That's ungodly. Ungodly men. Ungodly men. Men without a burden. Men that are just wanting to preach, but then they feel no responsibility. Now, I'm going to say something, and I don't hurt your feelings at all. But one thing that bothered me, I love camp meetings. I got introduced to it when you could hear people praying. I mean, you drove in on Granite City up there, brother, and you go in there, Brother Joe, and you'd hear people praying in various places all over that place. They'd be praying and seeking God. But there was a little thing that was going on there that, you know, I'm just out of the army, just got out of the service, Brother Jeff, and I don't know what's going on anyway. Didn't know they had camp meetings. I didn't even know that the Brother Jerry Green, Brother Esri told me that. I went up there, amen, and some of the men would get up and preach the best. Amen. Had no burden at all for the altar service. You know? Amen. If Brother Joe or whoever it was got up, Brother Richard Crane was the preacher that year. Preached that night. I never saw a man drunk on the spirit like he was. I never seen a man stagger up and down those aisles like he did. Preach like I never heard a man preach, amen. Gave altar, sinners came, amen. And I got down to pray, the preacher said, look around, and the preacher just huddled over here and huddled over there and visited. Brother, you may not like me for saying this, but that's ungodly. Am I hurting your feelings? I don't mean to hurt your feelings. But brother, it's time we woke up and realized if the Bible said weep with them that weep and rejoice with them that weep, amen. It's time for us to realize that we're in this thing together. Amen. We can't let a man get up and burn himself out, tear his system up and destroy his whole body. Amen. Whenever they've been told, don't you get up howling like this. We can't let a man get up and shout and preach and pray and then get us in the altar and not get under the burden for that person and help see this thing through. Amen. I want to be godly. Am I doing all right? Amen. Ungodly men. Ungodly. Amen. In the book of Romans, he's also dealing with apostasy there. In the first chapter of the book of Romans, let me read there, verses 23 of chapter 1. Let me read that if I can get to it. I'm getting all around it, but I've got it marked. I just can't find it. I'm just so nervous. I'm afraid I've hurt some of you. I don't hurt your brother's feelings for nothing in the world. Amen. I don't hurt your feelings, but oh God, if we're going to have revival, it's going to have to start with me. It's going to have to start with me. Amen. I can't expect my, you know, a long time ago, an old woman told my wife, said the church will never live above the pastor and his wife. Huh? The church will never live above it. They may not live up to it, but they'll never live above it. Amen. So here we are. Let me read this to you. This is awful. I don't know where I've ever done so bad as I did yesterday, but I'm trying. Amen. All right, Romans 1:21-23. Because of when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became in vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They did not give God his glory that he deserved. Amen? The Bible says, whether in meat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do you know the reason why we don't have professors and men of high stature, whatever you said in their midst? It's not because God hasn't dealt with them, but it's because they're men that will not give God the glory. Amen? Look, if you would, if you please. And I know you know it's there, but just let me read to you from 1 Corinthians, first chapter, if I can find it. I know it's here in my Bible somewhere. As Brother Glimmer shares, it says it's in the New Testament. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world, confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world, confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's the reason why that he called a little boy out of Arkansas that went days without food and had no shoes on their feet, amen, wore burlap sacks in the snow, amen, and went to school with them and hung them over by the stove so they dry and wore them back home because that's all they had between them and the snow. That's really why God called him, because he knew that he knew he was nothing. He wasn't worth anything. There wouldn't be worth anything if God didn't get a hold of him. His life was wasted, amen. It'd be spending, drinking, and carousing and going on. But God, in his mercy, through a praying mother, amen, reached down and saved Charles Barnett, amen, not because he's wise, not because he's a man of means, not for any other reason that I should look up at him and say, God, if you did anything done here at this tabernacle today, it'll be for your glory, because I don't have a thing to offer except the Holy Ghost come by and help me. But he said of him, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption? That according is written, him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Listen, you think it's a dangerous thing to steal God's glory. Amen. I'd rather steal money out of your pocket as to steal God's glory. Huh? I'd rather steal sheep from your church as to steal God's glory. Huh? Why do you say that? If you look at the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, you'll find that there is a man by the name of Herod, a king there in Israel. And he reached out and he killed James. Amen. The Bible said he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. He intended to kill Peter, but it didn't happen. And so the Bible keeps on talking. And pretty soon it comes down to the place where Herod goes down to the people of Tyre and Sidon. Amen. And they came to him, to one of his chamberlains, said, help us. We're nourished by this king and we want to do the right thing. They had a little problem. They said, we want to get things cleared up so he continue helping us. And so the Bible tells us on a set day, Herod arrayed in a royal apparel, sat up on his throne, made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout saying, it's the voice of God and not a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not the glory, God the glory, and he was eating up worms and gave up the ghost. The word of God grew and multiplied. Do you understand what I'm saying? Here was a man that had killed an apostle. Here was a man that intended to kill another. Here was a man killing old, I'm telling how many people, and he lived, remained healthy, ate good food at the table. Amen. Had people bow in his presence. But once he stood up, and somebody said it's the voice of God and not a man, and he took that for himself, and he said, I'll take it. Amen. You know what? The Bible said God smote him because he gave not God the glory. Hallelujah. How can we just dust and ashes tuck upon ourselves to think for anything whenever God demands the glory? Oh, God, help us to realize there's a scripture that says in the Bible that man, too much honey is not good for man. Amen. And for a man to search their own glory is not glory. It's not glory when we begin to think we've got it. We're the one that's made it. We're the one that's going to do it. We're the ones that's going to cause the people. And there are people that can do that. There's people that have such charisma. They can sway the people. They don't need to pray. They don't need to study. Amen. They just need just a little time. Amen. They get in that pulpit and they can pull everybody. started to them. But I'll tell you something. Sooner or later, that's going to run out. Amen. That's ungodliness and failing to give God the glory. If I eat too much honey, it's going to make me sick. But if I start glory and giving myself the glory, I'm going to make you sick. Amen. And so that just ain't going to work. I'm talking about the marks of apostasy. Ungodly men that will to steal God's glory and take it for themselves. Amen. Whether therefore eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know what that was about? That was about some people. That was, some felt like you could eat this and some felt like you couldn't eat it. And Paul said, take the side of the weak. Hallelujah. Wherefore, if meat offend my brother, if it's going to cause him to fall, I'll eat no meat so long. Can you imagine a man with a burden like that? Can you imagine a man with an attitude like that? Can you imagine, well, if he don't like it, that's his problem. Huh? Paul said, it's my problem. Hallelujah. Am I preaching all right? I know I'm not preaching all right. I don't have to ask you that. Amen. I know that. I know that. I knew it yesterday. But I'm just doing the best I can. I'm doing the best I can. And I feel like God gave it to me. It's not God's fault that I didn't pray more. It's my fault. But I'm just trying to talk to you about the mark of an apostate. The acts of the apostate. It's just before you come to the book of Revelation. You know, here's the thing. I believe God could come anytime. I believe that. Don't you? I have a reason to believe that. The Bible told me, amen, that Jesus said, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. He told me to watch for he comes. So I've got the words of the Lord for it. Amen. I got examples for it. Paul said, then we which are alive remain shall be called together in the cloud to meet the Lord in there. I've got an example for it. Amen. And I got something in my heart that says Jesus could come any time. But there is a day of the Lord coming. There is a day that's a cloudy day. It's a dark day. It's a day of judgment. And oh, sometimes we confuse that. But here's Jude telling me, amen, when you see these things coming to pass, we're coming to the day of the Lord. We're getting closer to the judgment. We're getting closer to the catching away. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, amen, I want to know, not because I want to be critical, not because I want to spend my time in the pulpit running them down. Amen. Not because of those things, but I want to know because I want to be ready when he comes. Hallelujah. And when I see these things coming to pass, I don't get disheartened and feel like, amen, something's happened that shouldn't happen. I just want to look at it and say, oh God, you're God and you always will be God. Amen. And when my best friends go down, amen, Brother Savage, I don't want to go down with him. I want to grab a hold and hold on and just keep it holding on. Amen, until God establishes things. Amen, and catches away his bride. Hallelujah. I want to be in that catching away. Don't you? Amen. Now, I'm preaching on. First of all, they're ungodly. Secondly, they steal God's glory. Amen. They're also, the Bible said, men who defile the flesh. Amen. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew, I don't think you got it down here, but anyway. Matthew 19, 15 and 19. I opened right to it. Yeah, good. Didn't even have. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. These are the things which defile a man. Out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. You know, a lot of times we think of adultery as, and I know that's a physical thing, but in the Old Testament it was also a spiritual thing. Fornication was a spiritual thing. Getting mixed up with the world, going after the world. Amen. Seeking after the things of the world. Let the world become the thing that brings you pleasure. Here we are created for the pleasure of God, and we're finding pleasure in the world. Amen. I'm not preaching against anything you do. If you want to go out, you know what? I'd be a pleasure to me in this whole world. Amen. If God had given me legs to climb, and this afternoon I could step out here and take one of these hills and climb all the way to the top and get up there and sit down and look around and think, hey, that over there looks better, and walk over there and climb down and go up to that one. Amen. I spent years doing that when I was a boy. Amen. I'd say I was raised there at Brandville Moo. I was 10 years old, and you could hardly go any 5 miles either direction that I hadn't already been there. Hallelujah. And I did it on foot. Huh? I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about, amen, the lovers of pleasure. When it gets to the place where the house of God is set in destitute, while people go out and enjoy themselves in the world and leave God's work alone and leave God's work behind. When it gets to that place, amen, when we can do that with any fear, I feel like, amen, that's too far gone. Amen. Praise God. James talked about we kill and have not. Amen. When we can kill a man's influence by blaspheming, by evil speaking, by destroying him with just a few words. Amen. I don't feel like that's pleasing God. These things defile the flesh. Amen. Evil thoughts. Amen. Harboring evil thoughts. Did you ever have evil thoughts against anybody? No, you never did, but I have. I mean, I've had evil thoughts. Amen. I've had evil thoughts. I mean, evil thoughts. Amen. Amen. Destructive. Huh? And it wasn't all of them this side of Calvary. I mean, the other side of Calvary. Hallelujah. Some I had to pray through about. Some I had to pray through. Amen. God saves a variety of men. You hear what I'm saying? He saves men like me and calls me to preach. And I'm a very patient person. Not patient. That's the wrong word. I'm an impatient person. But I'm a person that tries to get along. You know what I mean? I just try to get along. I try to go with the flow and whatever. But God has also saved some men in his time. There were men that knew nothing but constantly in the battle. Huh? And you just don't get rid of that just because you get saved. Huh? I knew one preacher called another preacher. This preacher had got the place where this man had done him wrong till he felt like he couldn't take it anymore. He talked to him to 4 o'clock in the morning. Until finally that other preacher said, I will go to church and pray. Because he intended to do something very destructive to another man. He took all he's going to take. You don't think preachers harbor things like that. And I'm not trying to make preachers. I'm just telling you, we're people. We're people. Amen. A man like me would have took it and not said it anyway. You get a man to get saved off the streets. You get a man saved like Buster Wilson with his throat. Amen. Carrying scars and chest carrying scars. Amen. Did nothing but fight and steal and even the police offered to pay his way out. You get a man like that saved, there's something down inside him that only the Holy Ghost can control. Only the Holy. But I'm glad to tell you that the Holy Ghost does control him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He did Buster Wilson, I feel like. Amen. I'm just talking about Brother Buster. I'm just simply saying, amen, these things are the things that defile the flesh. But these people have nothing to worry about. Amen. They don't mind going in and picking up a tabloid. Amen. They can be an adultery and they can pick up a tabloid and read them the multiplicities of adulteries, which is fornication, whoredoms. They love to read about those things. Those things feed their soul. I'm not just talking about church folks. But while I'm at it, I want to tell you something. Amen. If we don't get a hold of our appetite to know, we're going to destroy ourselves. Amen. There's some things you don't need to know. Woman one time came to me. She just come to church. She didn't know anything about it. She prayed. And pretty soon she come back and she brought a sack, amen, full of books. And she said, I want these burned. I said, all right. She said, they're worth a lot of money. They cost a lot of money. I could sell them for a lot of money. But she said, I don't want to sell them because I don't know one to read them. Amen. Sister Trish Hyde, I got home with those books and I sat down and looked at them. And pretty soon I looked out and I looked at one or two of the covers. And I thought, well, I believe I'll see what it says. And I said, no, she said she didn't want anyone to read them. I stuck it back in that book. I built a brush pile fire. I brush pile up. Amen. And I put them in that brush pile, set them on fire. And to this day, I don't know what they had to say. Huh? Amen. But that's the thing that we got out there in the world. Amen. And God help us as a church. Amen. To make a distance between us and those questionable practices and questionable religions and questionable ideas. Amen. So pretty soon we get to the place where yes, God is God and Baal is God and amen, Ashtaroth is God and we got all them other gods going around. Amen. And pretty soon Jesus Christ is no longer Lord and Master. Amen. We lose sight of the cross of Calvary. Amen. Because of the acts of the apostates and a spirit of apostasy that gets in our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, as I prepare to close, you know, are you like I am? There's something about social work that really appeals to me. You know what I mean? Feeding the sick and the poor and the down and outers. Is there something like that appeals to you? It appeals to me. It really does. There's something about that appeals to me. But could that be a mark? The apostate? It does if it is if it takes the glory from God. Huh? I was reading something in the book of Revelation. And under the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "These things saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and thy charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last be more than the first." Man, were they involved. Hallelujah. Here it is. I'm talking about the West Side, where Brother Mike Parks. I'm talking about a West Side church I know of, where I was pastor, not where I'm at now. Amen. Katrina comes along, blows away, you know. Amen. And pretty soon you see this truck loaded with goodies. They're headed to help those down to Katrina. Amen. They're sending truckloads of stuff down there. They're sending workers down there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And here I'm sitting over. I got a little church just trying to keep things together. And they got a big crowd over there. And the women are singing in their shorts, you know, and halter tops. They're just having a wonderful time over there. And they're just sending stuff down to the Katrina. And everywhere there's a disaster, they get in with Joplin. You know what I mean? Yeah. That just kind of makes me envious almost to realize how much good they're doing. But here, at the same time, the Bible says, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess." They must have been prophecies back then because they took her in. Amen. She said, "You call herself one. You suffer her to teach and to seduce my servants and commit fornication and eat things sacrificed to idols." Here's that great social working church living ungodly with all the marks of apostate. I looked at that and I thought, man, that's stuff I want to get in on. You know, I see little kids, they have advertisements of little kids that are hungry, and I think, I'd like to help feed them. I believe we should help. Amen. But you know, a lot of times we can look out and see those, and we get involved in those way off out there. So we're part of that great group of people that's taking care of the social ills of the world. And we'll forget to slip that person a $20 bill in the church that hadn't had work for a long time. But I got interested. Ain't this pitiful? But I believe it's what the Lord wants. Then I turned over in the third chapter, in the seventh verse, and an angel of the church in Philadelphia, "Write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath a key of David, and he openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works." Well, tell me about them, God. Am I sending anything down to the folks at Katrina? Am I doing anything for Joplin? What about Moore City? "I know thy works." And then don't even say a word about them. "Behold, I set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." Now, don't you, brethren, get it by the mic so you can read, all three of you. "And no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." Just a little strength. But he said, "I set before you an open door." Amen. Now, I don't talk to you. I'm through with this. But listen, we're talking about the glory of God. The glory of God. Is it in social works? And I'm not against that. God, help me. Don't ever let you think that I don't have pity on the poor and would like to help. Don't think that at all. I don't believe that. Amen. But here's the thing about it. Amen. We get involved in social works, but we sometimes forget about the door. We get involved in social works, and we forget about the fact that he said, that thou hast a little strength. You don't hardly have enough strength to get by. You wonder sometimes, amen, am I going to get through this week? How am I going to do it? But he said, listen, that same one that shut, opened that door, he's the one that can open and shut it. And the reason why, because with your little strength, feeling your deficiency, feeling that you're not able to preach, feeling that you're not able to testify, feeling that you're not able to sing, feeling that you don't really measure up like you should to as far as doing something for God. Amen. He said, you've kept my word and not denied my name. You've never taken away my authority over you. That's what I say it means. You've never taken away my authority over you. Amen. There was those in the Rome, book of Romans. Amen. They said, you know, he said, you changed the glory of God unto like, and I'll change back. Let me just go back to that. Amen. Just catch it there for a minute. He said, you changed the glory of God into this. What? It's the glory of the uncorruptible God in the image make and liken to a corruptible man. Uh-huh. Amen. We get our glory from some man that we're in attached to that seems to be smart and intelligent and he speaks so well. Amen. That's all God is to you. Someone that can just do something nice and meet you on your level. And he said, are you changed that glory down to the corruptible God like in the man and the birds? And I know the commentaries say, amen, they talk about the bird in Egypt that ate snakes and what have you. But let me tell you something. There's something about the bird that has a flash of brilliance, you know. There's a flash of brilliance. You always see that bird. And what a wonderful thing it is. Amen. And so God is something like a shooting star across the sky. Amen. You catch a little glimpse of him, he's gone. Amen. That's all he is to you. Are you changed that glory of God unto like a four-footed beast? You call on him when you need him. Oh, God, I got problems. Amen. We got a bill coming due next week. Amen. And we don't know what we're going to do. Amen. And so the bill comes in. God, I thank you and forget about it now for until I need you again. I'll call on you next time. Amen. Did you know I've put all people to church, known people been hauled to church because they didn't have no car? Amen. The first time they got a car, they took the weekend off and they went somewhere because they hadn't had a chance to go before. Like four or five, just of service to us, just a beast of burden.
That's right.
And then it said, and the Bible said, and like the creeping things. You know, Solomon said, there's three things that he marveled at or astonished at or wondered. Yea, four. One was the eagle in the sky. The other was the serpent on the rock. The other was the ship in the sea. And the other was a man with a maid. You know, something I see about them is the fact they don't leave no trail.
No trail. I don't know where they're going.
Amen. You see that eagle up there? Can you tell where it come from?
Mm-hmm.
You just see it. You see that ship in the sea? Can you tell where it's been? No, it's just waves around the ship. Amen. You see that man with a maid? Amen. Does she know anything about him? No. Because he seduces those that are ashamed to tell what's happened to them. Mm-hmm. And so it continually covers his tracks by shame.
Wow.
Seduces this one, seduces that one, seduces right. Another one. Amen. The way of a man is made. What about the serpent on the rock? You can't tell he's been there. He can catch, devour his enemy, and go our food, and go right on. Amen. And so to some people, the God is so difficult, so mysterious. Amen. We can't never know. I remember one time a preacher was preaching about and said his ways is higher than our ways, you know, and all that stuff. And I said, wait a minute, brother. The Bible says there he's talking about the men that don't know God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And am I right about that? I haven't looked it up this morning, but it talks about the men that don't know God. I know his way is higher than our way, but the Bible said the way is the plain, that a fool, the wayfaring man, should not err therein. We can know about God, but you see those people, amen, that change the glory of God. They move him into a realm. I know I've backed up a little bit here, but they move him into a realm where, you know, it's just a flash of brilliance. Amen. It's just the wisdom of a man. Amen. I told you yesterday about telling that preacher about what had happened to me. And he began to try to, you know, go through that. It's your education. It's what you read. It's how you did this. It wasn't a thing in the world. I just prayed and God did it. Never had a thing to do with it. Amen. Never had one thing to do with it. Amen. But he didn't understand. He was a good man. He's a godly man. I believe he'll make heaven. But sometimes we just get God down to the place where we only think that he thinks like we think. Instead of getting to the place where we can think like he's thinking.
Yeah.
Amen. Now listen. God said to that church, amen, your last works ain't greater than your first. You ain't increasing on social work. You ain't doing a whole lot. You got 35 in Sunday school. You're paying your bills. And you're giving a little offering once in a while. Trying to help somebody once in a while. Amen. But there ain't no trucks leaving your church loaded down with goodies headed to help poor victims. And thank God for those that do. I mean, I'm not against them. I would never go to that church and say, you oughtn't to do it. You're not even saved. Amen. Let them do it. In fact, if they can do it, let them do it. I'm not against that. But he said, I've set before you an open door. I hope somebody help me hear this a little bit. I'm about through. All right. Amen. Let's go to first scripture there. Bill, read it for me if you would please.
For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries.
That's Paul, right? He said, now I've got some problems there, but there's a door open. He didn't say, I opened it. He said, it's open to me. All right, let's go to Acts 14 and 27. Randy.
And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them.
Yes.
And how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles.
Anybody shouting about that? Anybody shouting about that? Anybody concerned about that? And then Brother Caleb, 2 Corinthians 2:12.
Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord.
A door. I have the power to shut it, and I have the power to open it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Right in the middle of the Acts of the Apostates, we can have revival.
Yes.
If God will just hear us and open the door. Did you never know in the book of Hebrews that chapter 11 is associated with judgment and disorder? Just think about that for a minute. The first character is us that we believe that God formed this whole world simply because he said he did. In the midst of all the agnostics and skeptics, we still believe. Hallelujah. Yes. The next thing we come along is Abel. And Abel lived in a world where half of the known world right then was perverting the worship of God. That's what Cain was doing. He brought, the Bible said, by faith Abel offered unto God. By faith Abel had been taught that blood is what takes to wash away sins. And by faith, he got that message from God or from mom and daddy or somewhere. And he was staying with the word of God. And by faith, he did that. And I should have made mention of this first. But Cain, he perverted the worship of God.
Yes, he did.
Huh? He said, no, what I can do will be good enough. God will accept that. Yeah. Look how fine this is. I'm not even raising barley. I'm raising wheat, amen. Barley is slave food. And it's for horses and mules. I've got wheat. I'm going to give the best. But God said, it's not according to what I said.
That's right.
So, amen. Abel lived in a world where half of the known world had perverted the worship of God. And the half of the known world was capable of murder and proved it.
That's right.
I'm talking about the known world in his generation. I'm not talking about mom and daddy. I'm just talking about, we know there was probably others, but I'm talking about what the Bible said. Enoch walked with God. His message, well, the whole Lord cometh 10,000 saints, execute judgment on the earth. You know, talk about giving judgment on the ungodly. What kind of message do we want to hear from that? They didn't want that. Amen. Enoch. And then Noah preached for all those years. Left there just his family. Left amongst scoffs and laughter. You see what I'm saying to you? They lived in the days of apostasy, but they kept the faith. Abraham was called out of the land of idol worshiping. Went into a land of idol worshiping, but he kept the faith. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Through faith, Sarah, when there wasn't another woman in the world having a baby at her age, heard Brother Joy, how do I remember that? I wish you could remember that text, Brother Joy. Baby bottles and baby carriages. You preached it at, down. You preached it at Barville Youth Camp. Amen. Anyway, years ago. But anyway, so, amen. Here's it. Ain't nobody else having it. But she did. You see what I'm saying? You just go right on down through. And every one of them. But God picked out individuals that said, I'm going to see something done for God. Yeah. Hallelujah. And what, Brother Kate, read that again. What Paul say?
Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord.
A door was opened to me. Now I want to read you one more scripture. If you have your Bibles, just turn with me. Philippians, the fourth chapter. I'm closing with this. Fourth chapter. Paul's in prison. He's in prison. Amen. He's in prison. He's in prison. He's been in prison there. Listen to what he says. Now we're talking about, Paul said the door is open. If I come to a world, a door is open. Paul says here, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. He couldn't do no social works. He couldn't do anything for the poor. He had remembered the poor. He'd done what he could for the poor. But he's in prison now. He can't do nothing there. But amen. Before he got through and got it right in that letter to Philippians, he'd had most of the servants saved that worked for Caesar.
Yeah. Right.
Are you hearing me?
Yes. Yeah.
Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Ungodly, filthy dreamers, filthy flash people. Yeah. Amen. Praise God.
Yes.
We can have revival in the face of the devil.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Prayed this morning that the Lord had helped me to hook on to Brother Savage. I said, Lord, help me hook on to him. I don't know where he's going. I have no idea. But I feel like I may have not done it through the part of it. But those last verse, Brother Savage.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I got a pretty good
that's
hook
right.
on you there. Pull me up the next year. What
that's right. That's right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.